C spine.
So we've done before in the other class, how many views, how many projections are considered routine?
Five.
Five, okay, and they are?
18
lateral. AP open model. AP axial, AP open model, lateral, and both obliques. Okay, so when you do an exam, you want to make sure you have all the materials in the room. So we need five cassettes. And we're using 8x10. So when you do this on a patient, you want to make sure you have the five 8x10s handy. You need right and left blood markers. You need sponges. What else do we need? You might need a bigger sponge, maybe. A pill. We're not going to use a pillow during the exam, but before and after, maybe you can use a pillow. Now, some places use a pad on the table. I don't recommend a pad when you do spines because it's going to be really hard to move patients around. It's comfortable for the patient, but when you try and turn an oblique or you want to move the spine, you know, to get it straighter, you're kind of, you know, you could injure yourself because you're trying to force against a pad that doesn't slide sometimes too well. So probably for the spine, you don't want to use a pad. You start doing some other exams, probably a pad is okay. Okay, so we have our five cassettes. We have all the supplies. What we're going to do is we're going to set up the equipment before we even get the patient. So you grab a request, it says cervical spine. Okay, you know, you got your cassettes, markers, blah, blah, you got all the stuff. It's in the room. Now we're going to set up the room, the equipment. So who wants to be the tech to start?
Like as a to-do?
You know, walk us through.
Go ahead.
Everybody
will
get a chance. Sometimes the patient doesn't know what you're saying, and they don't understand. So if you do something simple, the AP axial is probably simple. You can kind of develop, does the patient understand when I say something, or do you explain or say it differently? So by the time you get to the open mouth, you can have a pretty good idea of what you need to say. You'll tell the patient for the open mouth, you need to open your mouth real wide. You know, they go like this. To them, that's wide. So if you're talking to them, you know, before you get to that point, you can really have to emphasize real wide. So then you tell them, you open your mouth wide, you know, wider, wider, so you know, you kind of know what to expect. Anyway, that's just a thing. Some techs will do all the views at the upright board, which you can do. I think it's simpler to do the AP, axial, and the open mouth here because less chance of movement. If you go out to a hospital or somewhere and you're working and the tech says, I'm doing it at the upright, that's fine, that's the way they do it. The tech shows us on the table, and I think that's probably the better way. Everybody has their own way of doing things. Doesn't mean it's right or wrong. So, you know, when you get out there and you're working, you want to do all the circles fine upright, that's fine. Okay. But in here, I want to kind of show you the way the tech does and what I think works pretty well. Okay. But we're going to start with the axial. So let's bring the tube across the table. It'll lock in 90 degrees. Okay, are we going to angle the tube for the AP axial?
Yes.
Yeah, how much?
15.
15 for most patients. So what we want to do is make sure we have 15 on here. And it's on 15 degrees. Okay, so we have 15 degrees.
They went to your papers.
They cracked.
You're so awesome, Senator.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you
want to
Okay. We have our angle on there, 15 degrees. Okay, because we're angling, we need to change the SID.
Yeah.
Okay, so
because we're crossing an arc.
Right, let's start at 40. Let's bring the indicators on the left. And you see a little thing up there that says film. It's kind of hard to see.
Right.
You want to bring that to 40. And this is the vertical line. So bring that straight up until that arrow's on the 40. Okay, the left arrow is for the bucky. The right arrow is for tabletop. Okay, so we're at 40 now. But we're angling. So what happens, this would be 40. As we go out here, it's getting further and further away.
Right.
So we need to bring the tube closer. So for every 5 degrees, 1 inch will come down.
37.
So that's 3 inches, so we'll come down to 37.
Okay.
Okay. Now we're going to line up the tube and the bucky. So you want to turn the light on there, and you want to see where the bucky tray is. And you don't want to go by the light on the tabletop, because the ray is coming down, it's going to be on the table. So we're trying to move the table out of the way. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just don't go by the table. The more this is rotated, the more this line is going to be off the actual film.
So how come this doesn't line with this?
It is. It's just, it's kind of, remember, it's hitting that and the light's still going to be on that point.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's probably easier to look at the film.
Okay.
Like I said, and see it better right there. So sometimes you may want to move to it. If you have the table here, you can't see what it's set.
Right.
So you move the table out of the way, and I can see exactly where the middle is.
Okay. Now, if you bring 5 things to film in here and you put them along the shelf,
well, you don't have to do it on the back,
so you don't ever break them.
You
get bogged, right?
Okay.
Yep.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, so we're pretty well set. This is set already. We got our SID. Mm-hmm. We got the distance all set. It's centered to the bucky. We got the bucky set. And we also have our marker, which is on a film, which is the right marker. Okay, it's going to be indicating that's going to be the person's right side. Okay, so we're going to put that in there. We're not going to touch the bucky again.
Right. Only the table.
We're not going to move this again.
Right. Well,
except for the word to the combination next, other than moving the tube, not moving the tube. Okay, so let's put in the combination. Okay, we're using an 8x10. So we want 10 inches in length.
So now,
which is that one. So you want to look for the 40-inch scale. Because we're at 40 inches. From the tube to the film is 40 inches.
But
we're angled. If we were straight down, we should be 40. Let's try doing it this way. Let's bring the tube up to 40. Okay? 40. Let's angle it. And let's bring it all the way to 40. Okay, now let's assume the bucky tray goes all the way out that way. It goes all the way to the bucky.
Okay.
When the light hits the bucky, that's going to be 40 inches.
No,
it's going to be probably 100 inches out there. So as you create this arc, you got to bring the tube back in. So we're actually going to have the tube. That's the bucket tray. We're going to have the tube about right here. About from here to here, it's going to be 40 inches.
Okay.
Because we brought the tube down in distance.
Uh-huh.
That makes sense? Because
yeah.
We had that arc.
You get it?
You compensated for that arc.
Yeah, but you just messed up my alignment.
More practice for you.
You're saying this angle, 15 degrees at 37 inches, is the same as 40 inches straight.
Perpendicular. Yeah.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Okay, so.
Why did you just say that to me? I don't know why.
Like everywhere.
Okay, we're all lined up here.
Okay.
Alright. Okay, and our calibration?
40 inches.
40 inches, we're going to move to 10. Is right there.
Oh,
yeah, this is hard to read.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're on that scale right from the smallest one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now this one you don't have to worry about because this is going to depend on the size of the patient. Larger neck, we're going to be wider, narrower neck, we're going to come in. So we don't know what the patient's yet looking for, so we'll wait until we do this one.
Okay.
Okay, so we have the length, 10 inches.
10 inches this
way. Yeah. Width, we don't know what the width is, so we'll hold off on that for right now. The one, the very last thing you're going to have to do is adjust this. Everything else is set.
Well, why isn't this one the length? This is parallel.
But this is showing this way. This is showing the collimator is going this way along the length.
Oh, I'm thinking this is this.
They're symbols.
It's opposite.
Yeah, this is the collimator opening.
Yeah.
Collimator opening.
Yeah.
This way.
It's like backing up a truck.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I understand. This is your range of patient.
Yeah. Okay. So we have all this. Okay. Now, let's pick the tube. And we're just going to bring it out of position just a little bit like that. So
right.
The patient doesn't bend your head.
Right.
Okay. Now we need somebody to be the patient.
Need a guinea.
I don't know. Anybody. Everybody will eventually.
I don't really care.
Anyone is Ken. Can you spare?
We call
no,
it
I don't think lower, actually.
Lower. We call it
you need
chance.
A later
one,
right?
Yeah. She's fine.
I'm
at a dead end.
Oh, yeah,
there you go.
Okay. And how, what weight does this table go up to?
Don't even go there.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm just checking.
So
okay. Okay. We'll bring the two. Bring the two back across.
Yeah. Don't be alarmed.
Don't be alarmed. Okay. Now remember, you don't have to do anything to the tube. You don't have to do anything with what to what. Now you're going to concentrate on the patient.
Right.
Everything you're going to do now. Okay. So we want to move the patient down. So let's move the table. See if the table goes down or not. It may not. It's not going to go down for enough. So let's have it slide a little bit toward his feet.
Toward my feet?
Yeah, toward his feet.
Whoa.
Is that my stuff?
Yeah, you're giving up all kinds of stuff.
If it was right. Money, I would accept it.
Oh, I'm broke. You've got the wrong taste of the table. All right, let's see. Where are we going?
Okay, so we're going to go through the thyroid.
Okay.
Right? Okay. So I'll look for the thyroid area.
Next.
Mm-hmm. And move over that for your mid-satchel and over the thyroid.
It looks kind of like it's senator eight.
Yeah, I think you're right. Okay. Okay, so now on the collimation, you want to go to the soft tissue. So you bring the collimator and you see it striking right here. Here it is.
This one.
Okay.
Good. Now what about over this? We don't want to take breast tissue. Don't we want to close that up?
Yeah, no, because We're to the size of the film. We're to the 10 inches of the film. If we increase that, we're going to cut off some of this money.
Yeah, it's going to cut off up here.
Okay. You want to be careful. You don't want the head tilted to the side.
Right.
Like that.
Because you won't be able to see it. Now you're going to be able to see the joints.
Right. And you want to rotate it because what's going to happen, you're going to close off one of the joints. So make sure the patient is perfectly straight. Okay, now we're done with the centering. Now you're going to make sure the occlusal plane is straight.
And that's the one at the tip of the top teeth.
Yeah, so that's what the open mouth is for. So we're going to use a neutral plane where the teeth come together.
Okay. And so then it just goes
so it's going to be right here at the lip area. You just help the lip
down. Down to the base of the skull.
Yeah, the base of the skull or the mastoid tip. So you want that to be perpendicular. That line should be perpendicular.
Right. Now, are you looking at the edges of her mouth?
Yeah.
People
drop
down.
Yeah, right. Just open up. Just down. Yeah. Teeth come together right there. So usually, it's a little something together. From there, you know, here's the mastoid tip. Okay, so from there to there, is that perpendicular?
It looks a little bit.
It's angled. So bring your chin down just a little bit. Okay.
Now, would that be called hyperflexion or?
That's flexion.
Okay.
Well, that's extension. That is extension. Okay, so we're going for the mastoid tip. And tip to the occlusal plane. That looks pretty straight now. That looks pretty straight.
Yeah, but she's more this way than she
was. Chin came down. Okay. So you're all set.
Okay.
So you're just the middle center of the
chin on the thyroid?
Thyroid, right there. So that's your X.
Yeah.
That's where it is, right?
Right, right. Move down here just higher. The table's down. Okay, that's the AP axis. Now, if the patient has a real big curve in their neck and you notice that, when it kind of comes up like that, then you want to increase your angle. For most patients, 15 is going to work. Probably 99% of the time, 15 degrees
will work. Okay, and then this is just hold your breath, don't move.
Yeah, I think the type says hold your breath. The main thing is that they don't hold
your breath. Because if they take a breath, then...
No, sometimes you want to take it as they take a breath because you want the trachea to fill with air. That's usually not for the C-spine itself. That's another little trick you can do from a lot of C-spine. Okay, AP exit. Make sense? Right? Pretty simple. Okay. Let's see if we have all the way. I think we can all set that.
Sit for a couple minutes, yeah.
So I don't want
to
drop. Oh, are you stable?
That's fine.
Okay.
Did I become an old person in like an
hour? No, you don't have to be old. I watched my son, he was 18, he stretched his head and I watched him go.
Okay, well, why don't you be the tech?
Must be all those emails.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you be the patient?
Talking about me. Oh, me?
And we're going to
do this?
We're going to do the open mouth.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so why don't you get on the table, on your back. And remember, the patient's still on the table. We've done the apiaxial. Now we're going to do the open mouth. Okay, so one down. Okay, and two, back across. Okay, now how is the central ray going to be on this one for the open mouth? Perpendicular. Okay, so we want to roll the tooth so we're straight down. Okay, and SID?
Periscope's up.
SID goes back to
40.
40.
To what?
40.
Oh, the table
top. Table.
Yeah, the left scale.
The left one.
Left scale is for 40. Right,
I thought it was, and then you said...
I said bookie.
Oh, I thought it was going to go wrong.
You shot you up to the...
That's hard to see.
Yeah,
the other side was better.
Okay, now you want to move the tube over the bucking tray. So this is the lock, longitudinal lock. So undo the lock.
You want me to move this whole thing over?
So, and here's the bucking tray. You want it... You want the tube right over the middle of that bucking tray.
Oh, sorry, close your eyes.
Just a little lighter. Right there. Okay, that's one. Okay, now before we push that back in,
change it.
Our collimation for the open mouth. You remember what that was? For the open mouth.
No.
Okay, 4 inches.
Yeah,
4 by 4.
Okay, 4 by 4, which is a little tiny field. Okay, here's the middle of the field, 2 inches over. This is going to be where the field ends.
So we move our marker.
Okay, there's the other field. We're going to go 2 inches down. So right here is where the field ends. So we want that right at the edge, inner edge of the field. Okay.
I'm not good at guesstimating. I
do it all. Okay, and let's do our collimation. We're going to be 4 by 4, and we're 40 inches.
Yeah, close your eyes. You'd be blind by the
other kind of way up here.
Okay, so now you can kind of position the patient. One thing I didn't mention before, any clips in the hair, earrings, necklaces, glasses, all that studs, all that stuff has to come off. Okay. You'll probably end up with an old patient, probably in their 70s and 80s, with 20, 30 little bobby pins in there. And you take an x-ray and there's still one pin in there somewhere. So try and get everything out so you don't have to repeat an image.
Don't they tell them before you come in?
No, they don't tell them. Yeah.
And if they do, you know, some of these older patients, there's always something in there they don't even know of.
It's probably a pee margin
sample.
Do you
look like
going to have breast? I mean, you probably should. I don't know if you can do it. Something like this, you can put what is in the chest area. You can't shoot a thyroid at all because you're going right through there. When you do it upright, it's really hard to get a wet apron. Your hand hold it, and the shoulders come up, so it just doesn't work too well. Hand on the table. But you're using such a tight collimated field here, you're not getting a lot of skin. Okay, so tube is set, the bucking is set. Okay, now we're going to work on the patient. Okay? We want the occlusal plane perpendicular. That's what we did on the other patient, remember?
Okay. The little hair thing in
your
hair, is that
going to
affect anything?
Yeah, let's assume that's the bottom of your head.
Okay.
That's your back there, so we'll use that as a
okay.
Second.
Okay, so
first, first of all, you want to get the spine real straight. Look at
straight.
We're off
the
Now, we want to look at the occlusal plane. So here's the map of the bone right behind you. Okay, from there to where the bottom of the top is, it's okay. Is that for you?
That's not. It's got to come up just a little.
The ear up. Yeah, the mass light is a little more behind the ear right there. Make sure you get the right point.
Right there.
Yeah.
Okay. Your mom had an ear.
Bonian's a jaw. Mastoid bone is your ear, the base of your ear, because there's a mastoid bone in your ear, like below your ear bone.
Oh, so the process.
She can get a mastoid
bone right there. You can have her open her mouth a little bit to see where the bottom of the top tooth is. Then I open real wide, just not to see the tooth.
Bottom of the top tooth.
Yeah, bottom of the top tooth. So what you want to do now is tell the patient, I want you to open your mouth as wide as possible. Don't move your head, because sometimes I'll open the mouth and now you have to adjust real quick, so you want to go down just a little bit, so you're right in the middle of the open mouth.
And it's the lower jaw only, right?
Right here, just on the lower jaw, move, right? Okay, so now, for a while, you're right out, move your neck.
Just take a big mouth. Okay, so as soon as it opens,
You may have to go up or down a little bit.
She's not better now. She moved.
Yeah, she's moving.
She's trying not to chuck on her gum. She's got gum in her mouth. She's trying not to chuck on it.
So remember, once they open their mouth real wide, you have to recenter to get to the middle of the mouth.
So you got
to
move the whole table and just...
Yeah, you have to move the table. You want to do that quick, and you want to have your techniques all set, run there, because they're not going to hold that for more than probably 30 seconds.
So you're shooting for the uvula. I mean, that's what you're going for, right?
Yeah.
It's a doppelganger.
I know. It just sounds funny the way you said it.
Isn't that what it is?
Uvula.
No, that's lower.
That was on time, folks. Okay, that makes sense?
Yeah. Yeah, but when you're all the way over there, how can you tell whether they're... I mean, you can...
And usually, if you tell the patient to open their mouth, they open it a little bit. At least you put a cork in their mouth. That was really tough on patients.
Okay, so what happens if you open it and then you don't move her and you take the x-ray when you don't move her?
It's going to be off-center.
Well, yeah.
Then you know, but will that really make a big difference on the x-ray? Yes. Okay.
And it's probably because of compliance in the patient.
Part of it. Okay, let's switch. Let's have something else.
But if they have braces, we have
right on.
Right on.
You'll be able to see that. You'll see the braces on there. If they have dentures, they have dentures on.
This chapter, huh? And how are you going to like the top teeth?
Well, then, just use the...
What's
that bony thing called? Okay, I want you to be the patient.
Okay.
I want you to be the tech. Okay, now, let's suppose you did the open mouth. You did everything right. Blue the plate is lined up, and you look at your image, and your down plate is cut. And you did everything you're supposed to.
You did the wagon jaw.
Okay, yeah. The wagon jaw is one. That's not done too often. The wagon jaw is one. The other one was the... Remember what the other one was?
No.
The Fuchs.
I wrote it down. Oh, the Fuchs or the...
Fuchs is AP, so that's the more common. So go ahead and apply it back. So we did the Fuchs.
Fuchs?
Fuchs. What's wrong with
you?
Something was in the way.
Even the teeth that gets in the way?
Well, teeth, tongue?
Even if it's lined up correctly, the teeth may have rotated down. Okay, so our combination is going to be a little bit different. We still want the 4 inches in width, but let's go to about 5 on the length.
Like this one?
Yeah. You don't have to turn the light on it. So my length is going to be this one, so we want to go to 1.
So this part right there?
You're going to be 40 inches. Okay, that's good. Okay, go ahead and get the patient all centered.
So should I move the patient or the table?
Move the table.
Okay, what time am I doing?
You just want to get in the middle, it's fine. Okay, now on the Fuchs, we've done the open mouth already. Didn't turn off.
Okay, but which one is
the Fuchs is we're going to use a different baseline on this one. Okay, this one we're going to use the mentomedial baseline. The mentum is the tip of the chin, the meatus is the opening to the ear. So that baseline you want to get as perpendicular as you can. So on a lot of people, they're not going to be able to get their chin all the way extended. Bring it up as much as you can. Okay, you can see right now, let's look at the same from the momentum to the EAM. Okay, that's not perpendicular, but you probably can't get back anymore. So now you want to angle the central ray, so you're coming parallel to this line. So you want to go to the roll, and you want to angle it right about there. And you're not really looking at this gauge here, you're looking at what do I need from this patient. Okay, and then if you bring this up, that looks pretty parallel. Okay, and then the central ray will come in about a half an inch below the momentum. And that's the fuchs.
So basically into the jaw. You're glancing
under the basically. You can see through that?
Yeah, now you won't see the C1, C2 joints, but you'll see the odontoid.
The doctor, that's what he was
so hopefully you got the C1, C2 joint on the open mouth.
So you're saying you see the C joint, but you cut off the odontoid.
Exactly. And everything is lined up perfect. So what do you do? You do this one, you get the odontoid, but you don't necessarily get the joints.
So you would need both views.
If it didn't show on the AP or on the open mouth.
Yeah. Okay, now let's suppose the patient couldn't even do this. They couldn't even stretch your neck out enough to get this projection.
I was going to say, if I had a hurt neck, that would be an unpleasant.
Right. So what else can you do? Do you remember off at what's going to do? Okay, the wagging jaw is one, that's a possibility. The fuchs, the jug is PA, so sometimes that's even harder to get the patient to extend their chin out when they're prone. Do you remember what else?
Cross-table?
The other thing you can do are called tomograms. Okay, when a patient just lies fairly comfortable like this, and did Johnny roll over tomograms yet?
No.
Okay. Tomograms, you need special equipment. So you have to be in a room you can do tomograms in. So a lot of times if you're doing this, and then you say, well, I have to take it out of this room, I have to go to another room that you can tomogram in. In a tomogram room, this connects to the Bucky tray. There's a bar that connects the two, and there's a special mechanism. And what will happen, this tube is going to arc back and forth across the table during the exposure. It's going to come from this end.
Oh,
this
end. Like a panorama.
Right. As it's moving, it's blurring everything out except the C-spine.
Wow.
So let's say the C-spine is at this level. So everything below that level and above that level is blurred. But this level right here, where the spine is real sharp. And you select where the swivel is, depending on the little thing you change. Now, let's say you bring the point up to here. So now you do your tomogram, and the odontoid is right in this area, and you make the odontoid real nice and sharp. Everything above that, the esophagus, the trachea, everything else is blurred out. All the muscles, the rest of the spine going back is blurred out. Now, CT is doing all that now. So you don't use tomos as much. Probably the only thing you're using tomos now is for the kidneys. They tend to keep doing that when you do an IVU injection. You tomograph the kidneys. Everything else is just because of CT. But we used to tomogram every part of the body. We do fractures, we used to do the face, the skull, the lungs. We used to tomograph all of that stuff.
But that depends on the thickness of the patient. That's how you
set it. Right, yeah. The setting depends on where the spine is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we can judge. Your spine is going to be right there, so you would measure that and then set that on the right on top of the plate. Okay.
Yeah, that was real close to that.
Okay, so we have the
we
have the AP axial, the open mouth. The other stuff I showed you was our sterilized activity. So that will be part of the JP. Okay, so now we're going to do an oblique.
And what did you do on me? The wagon?
That was the fuse.
The fuse.
And that's the only one you have to actually just go by the patient's profile to get the parallel of the centroid.
Okay, why don't you be the tech?
Okay.
Why don't you be the patient?
Okay.
And we'll do it oblique at the chessboard. So let's go ahead and we'll set up all the equipment first. Okay.
How does this work?
Just one pops up. Okay, and remember, these markers never go into the upright.
Right.
It's okay here because it's all down.
It's like, Mr. Gravity's
Okay, and on the upright, there's a little clip to hold the film in the correct position. And the clip happens to be there. When this is not in use, it goes back in this position, back and kind of locks it in place. Don't lose it. You'll be in trouble if that thing goes wrong. Okay, pretty oblique to that, especially for the lateral, you want to be soft. Not quite the point of a oblique, so it's probably a little better. If you do a lateral, and if you have this down here for the lateral, the spine comes down here, and C7 is going to be right over the patient. If you put it up here, C7, you've got a clear opening of C7.
Did you say that little square, that metal thing up there, is basically a 4x4 in here? That's what we can kind of use to measure 4x4? Is it?
That little clip?
But the whole thing.
No, he just moved his hand, and then in the
back. Oh, not, yeah, I was just... Yeah, just pointing with my hand. Grab another
set.
So when you do a 4x4, you mean position for your marker?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Whatever you were doing in the bucket, I couldn't.
Okay, so here's your film in the bucket.
Uh-huh.
Okay, here's the center.
Uh-huh.
This way, and here's the center.
Oh.
Okay, so you know you have a 4x4 field.
Right.
2 inches on each side of the center.
Oh, okay.
So 2 inches down there. So this is where the field is going to cut.
Okay.
Right there. And your field right here is going to go 2 inches out. So this is where they're going to meet. So this is where the field is right here. So this is where you want your marker. Right in that area where those two fields come together.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead and set up the tube. All right, now we got... Oh, it has a little in it. Yeah, it locks in.
Man, this is nice.
Okay, now you don't want to move that without undoing the lock.
Oh, so that's something different.
So you want the longitude of the lock. If you're going to move it back and forth across the table, you want to do the lock first. Otherwise, if you drag the locks, they're going to wear off. Which way do you want to
go? Transverse?
This way, yeah. Okay. You want the tube to point toward the board. So you just want to roll it and have a lock in position. Okay, that's what you need. Okay, now.
I thought you meant this lock.
Oh, no.
But I want that locked because we're lucky.
It's already in the
nozzle.
It's in the nozzle.
Yeah, it's this lock.
Turn the light on.
Transverse lock.
And you're right on the middle.
Okay, so that's it.
Yeah, the upright and the table are the same.
Okay.
A lot of places they won't be. It is on this one. Okay, now if you look on the on that plate that's on the floor, there's a 72 marker.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when we're up to this point, yeah, don't do it without the locks.
So how do you?
Okay, now we're at 72.
The old ones, locks were worn out. Somebody had used it. Oh, yeah. Like that.
We'll just roll over the table.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, we're at 72 inches. Okay, are we going to have an angle on the tube?
Which one are we doing?
The one in your place.
No. Yeah.
On the, well, that's which one we're doing.
Yeah.
We'll do the REO.
Yeah. It's
on the REO, isn't it 5 degrees?
Is it 5?
15.
15.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's put a 15-degree tilt on there. And we're doing an anterior oblique, so which way would the 2D tilt it?
Concave.
Concave, right. Okay, so let's go 15 degrees. Okay, we have 15. So what do we have to do with our SID?
Bring it down 3 more inches.
3 inches in.
So this one right here.
So just estimate 3 inches from that point. And bring it in 3 inches. Okay. That's good. Okay, if you're using photo timing, you don't have to worry about changing your SID. The photo timer will automatically compensate for SID changes. Most places have SID. Okay? If you use a manual technique like we are here, you need to compensate to make sure we still have that 40 inches from the tube to the film. Okay, another thing, if you're going to use the photo timing, there's 3 chambers. There's one here, and one in the middle. Remember we talked about the 3 chambers when we did it at chest. Okay, well we're going to use the middle chamber for the spine. Okay, so when you have somebody up here for the spine, let's come up here just for a second. Okay, you're going right through the spine. It's going through the middle of the chamber. And it's preset. It'll tell you how much radiation is coming through, and then it'll turn off automatically when you get enough radiation from the spine. Okay. Now, if she's off-center a little bit, off this way, now we're going through soft tissue. So we're going to get a lot of radiation because there's nothing in there to impede it. So your telephones are too light. Because all the radiation goes to the chamber, turns off. You don't have enough to get through the spine. So your telephone's not light. It's repeatable because you're off half an inch. So now you got to repeat it just because of technique. So the photo timer is good, but you got to be real accurate.
Do we have to use the chamber, or is it optional?
It's usually optional, but it's fast. It's a lot quicker than setting down techniques all the time. Most places, yeah, most places will really use that. But you got to be really precise on your position. Okay.
Do we ask the patients when they come in if they would be more comfortable standing or laying down?
No.
We don't give a choice.
I don't give a choice. I mean, you're going to do it what works the best for you to get the best images.
That is, I observed somebody that in the KUB, she had had hardware on her spine, and there was just no way we were going to get her to lay down on that.
So they could stand up. Yeah. You can do all the spines. You can do the cervical, thoracic, lumbar. You can do them all standing up. Some places require all the spines standing. Some places require the spines to be done on the table. You can do the obliques that we're doing right now. You can do those on the table. So there's a lot of variation, but I wouldn't ask the patient. You make that judgment yourself.
Whether they would be more comfortable standing
What's going to give you the best x-ray? Now, if a person comes in and they're like this, and you think they're going to stand here while you do all this, you probably put them on the table, mm-hmm. and they're probably not going to shake as much on the table. Or if you're doing the lateral and they're like this, you may have a lot of trouble. Well, you know, the lateral, you have to be upright, but you want to give them something to hold, you know, give them a bar or a chair or something to hold on to.
Well, I just know when I've had trouble with my back, sometimes once I'm standing, I'm fine, or once I'm laying down, I'm fine.
Yeah.
But it's the getting up and getting down.
That depends on the radiologist, because there's compression when you stand. Mm-hmm. So maybe they want to see compression, maybe they don't.
No.
So you need to know what the radiologist wants.
Sure.
Because if you do the compression, and then he reads the film and says, man, it looks like, you know, we have some compression here. Well, maybe that's because the patient was standing up, and he didn't know that. Mm-hmm. So you have to know what they want, and if they say, you know, if they tell you to do whatever you think you need, maybe you need them to write, you know, like this patient standing, so he knows that the sponge between the vertebrae might be a little bit less because it's being compressed. Okay, sorry.
Oh, it's okay.
Okay, so we went in on 72 inches.
Yep.
Okay, so let's adjust the collimator. We're going to use this 72-inch scale, and we want 10 inches on the length. Okay, this one will depend on the patient, so we don't have to do anything right now. Okay, now we're ready for the patient.
How do we know the anterior is going to be simpler?
Because the nerve roots are coming out this way, right? They're coming out at an angle. So if I put my right side against the board, it's coming out this way. So if we angle down, it's going through that foramen.
I remembered it by the angle of the chest and the head points like this. So I just picture it like that.
I think if we remember, the routines are done PA because we're reducing dose of thyroid.
Right.
And it's also a good idea because the part that we're doing is in closest to the film. This foramen, the interior foramen, is one closest to the film that we're looking at. So two good reasons for doing it PA. Less dose, and the part that we're doing is closest to the film. The other foramen is on this side. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense. We'll do it. Now, you can do it this way. You can do it the opposite way, but now the tube has to be angled this way.
Oh, yeah,
because we're looking
saying.
At the foramen on right. the side furthest away from the thumb. Okay. You probably want to do it because you're increasing dose, plus you're magnifying it because you're further away.
Right.
Remember that the PA gives you the best, but the C-spine because it'll change for some of the other things. Okay, we have a patient. Jack.
Patient.
Now, again, is this a situation where they have long hair and you want to move it down the plate?
Yeah. You know, it's kind of hard to see if they have long hair. It's hard to see the spine. So,
yeah, we're
going to brush it off the side.
Well, we kind of have things that get in the way of us being that close to the sample.
We're going to have to cut this. Can I get some scissors?
Yeah.
That's a little better. Okay, how are we going to have the patient oblique?
45 to 45, okay. Okay, that's
good. Now you have them sitting on the other side?
That's good, Marie.
Each side is good.
Right, yeah, right there, yeah, right in there. And again, it's hard to see because of the hair right there, but let's assume that you're over the thigh line, you're probably going to be down just right in there, that's going to be close. Okay. Now you want to slide her forward a little bit. Now this is where it's real important if you use the photo timing. If you're not touching the body of the vertebrae, that's the little.
So the vertebrae, the center of the vertebrae is going to be over your center line.
The actual body of the vertebrae. You want the spine to process. You know, the transverse process. And remember, when you're palpating back here, if you go in 2 to 3 inches from that point, that's where the body is.
I don't know.
Am I supposed to be up maybe just a little more central right?
And that looks
right about
there. Right there.
Okay. Okay, what are we going to do with the skull? Now, there's two things we can do with the patient's skull to help.
You run the vertebral tilt this way?
Yeah, you can do it this way and just raise the chin up slightly.
Okay.
Or you can have the patient turn their head all the way to the side laterally and then keep the chin raised. This way, you have less chance of getting the mandible in there. Sometimes you get a rotation of the upper vertebral foramen. But this way, even with the chin extended, sometimes you get the mandible in the way. You can test doing it both ways. I did it with the head turn. The side and work almost every time. Okay, so good position. All we need is a marker. That's to do adjust the button tray. You want to adjust the button tray down.
So, okay, so where is the CR going in there? I can't tell you all the little lights right in here.
This is the central tray right here.
Okay.
It's the actual cross here is actually wide. And the little bit. It's kind of like that.
Okay.
And like that. So it's going right through that area. And you don't want to center back here, and you don't want to center over the trachea. Okay, another thing you can do is open up this collimator, and that'll show you where in the middle of the tray is. A lot of times it's hard to see this little light out here. And if you bring this out here, it's hard to see this.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just kind of poke it out a little bit, and you can see right there where you need to drop the collimator. Just the tip. Up there, and that should be pretty close. And then the only thing you have to do is adjust the collimator. Go right into the soft tissue. And then a marker. And that's a good place. The neck is curved right here, so you want it right in that concave area on the neck. And what marker should you be using?
The right marker.
Right side is now toward the floor, so there's a right marker on there. Okay. Okay, very good. Okay, once you do switch, now let's do the LAO.
And you're going to get the right spine.
The right intervertebral frame. I'm going to show up on that one.
So that's where the spinal cord is going
through. The spinal nerves coming out of the cord.
Okay. Now, is that the one where the superior and inferior?
Correct. Yeah. The notches.
The one that
we're going to do. Okay, so let's do the LAO, which is simple. Because everything is set. All you have to do is turn the patient the opposite way, make some minor adjustments.
Uh-huh.
Hardly anything you have to change.
Well, you do because you have a different height factor.
Well, you're a different height, but the angle's set, the distance is set.
So this will show.
This
will show the left intervertebral frame. Left, because the left side's against the board, we're doing it anteriorly, so we're going to see the left intervertebral foramen. And remember, the foramen are coming out at an angle like this, so as we turn this way, they're coming out this way, so if you have the tube coming down this way, we're going right through the foramen and bring that up into the film.
Okay.
Because they're coming out at an angle. Okay. Nerves are coming out that way.
I'm saying okay, and I'm like, I don't know how I feel, you know?
That is so reasonable to me. I'm just
kidding. Have we positioned yourself already?
Myself, you.
But I know nothing.
Okay. I was at a disadvantage because I have no
idea what you were seeing and how I was, so I don't
know. Okay, modification 45 degrees with the left side against the board.
Okay.
Okay, so that looks pretty good.
Right, except for he's way back here, but you want to line up here.
Right, we need to see where the light is, so we know how to move him forward and back.
Okay, I got
that. So go ahead and put him again in the 45, make sure he's the last 45, and I'll 60.
You need to put your feet in a little closer, he's torqued.
Yeah,
Okay, come here and raise the tube, and let's go to, so we're up to your styroid line. So you want the central ray to go through your styroid. We're going to look at the vertical arc straight up.
It's not going anywhere.
Okay. Okay, now because he's tall, and we can't get the tube high enough, he has to go to the chair.
Oh!
Are you serious?
He's been drafted.
Do we have to have
the
card on the card for each position, or just for
one
whole one position? You can have one card for someone
else. Yeah, and then the little category where it says position and position. Yeah, you don't want to carry around something real big. So either 3x5 or 4x6.
Put your arm on my back and touch the bucky and measure 45 degrees out.
Okay, that's good. And now we have to bring the tube down. Consumably.
Bring down.
And bring down to his thigh right here. Right about there. Okay, that's good. Okay, now you're pretty well centered, so now move him forward. So we're actually going to be centered over the bone.
I'm sure it didn't just
a little bit more, because now we're over the trachea. A little bit more, right there. Okay. Now you want to do your collimation. We have the length already, because we did before, so now just do your soft tissue.
It's like right about here. In the, what is that?
A little bit more.
Okay, so
you want to come in just where you see it hitting his neck on both sides.
Oh, okay, I got it. Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, now the only thing we have to do is because he's sitting down, we need to lower the bucky down shoulder.
Oh, lower it more?
Yeah, so here's, if you move out of the way, see, there's a light.
Oh,
the
center. Okay, I see what you're talking about.
And the best way to do that is to open this up. There's the center, so that's where you want to bring the board.
Yeah,
in.
I just want to,
Now, do I want this back here, or do I want this up here?
You want it right behind this curve in the neck, above that area. You don't want to put it too far down, because it makes it stuck. Okay, and then you can either leave the head this way, with the chin up slightly, or have him rotate it out, with the chin up ahead.
Okay,
Separate is right here.
Right.
Now, if he moves this way,
now
you're not going to get a full exposure. You will manually, you will.
Yeah.
But not with the
total. No.
That's right in the middle, right there.
Okay.
Right there. And marker is in good position.
So is that more superior? I mean, it's like more in the neck. It would be more posterior, right? Because the spine is more posterior on the body because of the stuff. So the right.
And always figure from back here, we can palpate 2 to 3 inches anterior is going to be the body of the vertebrae.
Okay. About 30 seconds, kind of estimate where it's going to be.
And then
So it's lateral, and then chin up slightly. Now, if the chin goes up too far, what happens with that?
You can't see them because they're...
Yeah, several of them are on the spine. And if the chin is down, the mandible goes over the spine.
Right.
Now you got the jaw on the spine. So just a little bit from a neutral position, just a little bit, maybe 5 degrees.
Okay?
Okay. Who hasn't been to the track yet? Okay, why don't you do the text?
I haven't been tech either.
Okay, good, I've been a patient.
It was just, yeah, tech.
Oh, yeah, this was, huh?
So we haven't been a patient.
Okay, who hasn't been a patient?
Yeah, we've been a patient.
Yeah, we've been a patient. Okay, we're going to do the swimmers.
Oh, I know. Is it a hard position?
I wasn't a patient.
No, not at all.
Yeah, because I can do it again, I don't care. Well, I can't swim very well, so.
Okay, go ahead and set up equal dip first. For our swimmers. It's going to be like true lateral.
Okay. We're going to do it in the water?
We're going to do it here. Okay. So first thing you want to do is probably move the tube. So get that all
right. I have no idea what I'm doing. This one doesn't get angled, right?
This is straight across, correct. Straight across. So we're going to 90 degrees.
This is the one that's just... Okay. I like how that goes right at the...
And it hits the 90 and we'll just go back about 3 inches.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I don't see anything on the ground.
I want you to raise that something too much.
Yeah. Well, this makes it perpendicular, right? When you have it.
This is where you get like
the collimation for the swimmers. What we're looking for in the swimmers is the lower cervical, upper thoracic. We're not looking for the upper cervical.
Right.
Okay, so our collimation will be about 6 inches in length, not the 10. It's going to be about 6, and then we'll come to also a little closer than the soft tissue on the width. You get a lot of scatter when you do this because you're going through the shoulder, so you want to collimate fairly tight. So we'll go to 6 on the length.
7 on 6.
Yeah, and this one we'll adjust once we get the patient up there.
Okay.
Okay, now we're ready for the patient.
What position is that you're supposed to use the down mask then? Isn't that what you're supposed to put on the table?
For
lumbar? Oh, sorry.
Okay, so this position, I know they
so most of the off patient's going to be lateral.
Lateral.
So we'll put the patient in a lateral position.
And wait.
It doesn't matter how you do the laterals. I always did left lateral. So unless I specify, I mean, you can do left or right.
Oh,
okay. But I always do the left.
Okay,
the
patient with attitude.
I know, right?
No, you know,
was there a particular reason why you always did the left?
It was just like a left chest. I mean, it's just, you know, you did that routinely. Unless I say, pay on the right side, then you do it right one. Okay, now the arm closest to the board gets put behind your head, and your forearm goes on the back of your head. And what some patients will do when you tell them to do that is they'll put their hand back here, and lo and behold, their hand's now over part of the cervical.
Oh, okay.
Make sure the forearm touches the head up here. Okay, forward.
Okay.
This shoulder, you want them to relax and drop down. Okay, which you did already. Okay, now your tube, your central ray, the sternal notch.
Okay.
You want to go 1 inch above the jugular notch.
Okay.
So palpate the notch, 1 inch above. Okay, now it should be your central ray.
Okay.
Okay. So then you adjust the tube so you come 1 inch above the notch. Because, again, we're looking mainly at the lower cervical and the upper thoracic.
As I do 72?
Pretty good. Okay, I'll have her move forward just slightly. You always want to treat, I'll try to keep the patient as lateral as possible. Okay, that's good.
It's like right here.
Okay, and again, just feel for the notch, go up 1 inch. And that's where you got your central ray.
But it almost seems like the same spot we were going for before. Right on the curve, that's where it looked like it was hanging.
Well, no, because here's the thyroid. Here's a notch down here that comes just a little. So it's below the notch. I mean, it's below the thyroid.
Patient's
up with
the room.
Oh, dude, you
know. I thought he said I was good. No, I was just going to grab the marker.
Okay, this is called the quinine position.
Okay.
Or the swimmers?
Well, it's
the swimmers. Yeah. The twine on position of the swimmers.
Okay.
Okay, now I'm going to show you another one. I'm sorry, I'm going to show you
a standard
again. Just like that. Okay, that was a twine. Okay, that one works really well when you're standing. This one works well when you're on the table. Okay. Take this shoulder, move it forward. Okay, just kind of roll it forward. Okay. This shoulder, relax and bring it back.
Okay.
So you have one shoulder forward, one shoulder back, the spine is still lateral, so you're coming through here with the shoulder separated.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so you're shooting between the two.
Right. So this is the Paulo, and it works better when they're on the table. You can kind of slide one shoulder forward on the table and drop the upper shoulder back.
Do you actually put a sponge on under it, or you don't want it up, you just want it
Yeah. And in this case, you just want it forward.
They have to flex it.
Thank you. Or
they have to do it for you.
And the whole purpose of this is to try and keep the spine lateral and just get the shoulders up. And sometimes you have to do this on the cervical. If somebody has wide shoulders, you're not going to see the sevens, so you have to do the swimmers. And when you do the thoracic, you almost always have to do the swimmers for the thoracic to see the upper vertebrae. Okay?
No, with this one, I would have put a player out here.
It's a character.
You may have the patient on the table and this is their spine, and it's kind of what they're going to be rolling. So you may have to do, not so bad on the cervical, but you know, when you get to the other vertebrae, you may have to build them up by their pelvic area. So they're flat right here. Take exposure that way. Build them up onto the shoulders. So the pelvic area is flat.
One's rolled forward. One's rolled back.
So you're coming straight down.
Down, 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 forward. Okay. So it's almost like when you're working with somebody that can't, the one with the arm or So you have to do the one, and then you have to...
Right, two separate ones.
Right.
Yeah, patient scoliosis can be very, very difficult. I mean, they can't move, they're fragile, their bones are, you know, making noise on the table. Those people probably want to pan. You have to watch your knuckle here, is your spine, and man, you're just crunching that thing. Everybody's not going to be
what you see in the book
there. Every patient has a challenge. Right, what do you have to do?
One of my questions was,
If I was a tech out there and somebody came and said, well, how do you do this? I said, well, I don't know, I do it this way. And they went and did it and probably wouldn't come out. You know, it would work for me, but it wouldn't work for them. When I used to center for my gallbladders and stomachs, I used my hand, and I would put the hand on the pelvic bone, and right where this little crease deal was always the center on patients. But if somebody else did that, it wouldn't work for them.
Everybody
has a little different hand and everything.
That's a measuring tool there.
I know, yeah. Right?
So everybody's a little bit different. And you'll find out what works for
them. It's just nerve-wracking hearing all this. It's just like,
okay. Well, you'll find out. You'll make a mistake and say, oh, yeah, I see I'm off at half an inch. That's why the film didn't come out. So then you know next time you're right on the center. And sometimes you may want it off on purpose because you want to light your film for some reason. Maybe you want a soft tissue film. But I mean, there's all kinds of little tricks here.
So if you're using the photo timer for people that have already got spinal hardware, do you...
That's a problem, especially if you don't know it.
Right.
Now, what if they have a plate and they're not spine this long, and you're using the photo timer, and you get through that metal, you're driving
all the way up,
and
it's all
about black, right?
It doesn't stop. You're like,
it's like telling you
it will turn off after a point. Where's the stuff?
Yeah, the point is, that's like 1 hour down the way. Did you stop it, though, if you really see it's taken?
You can't move it. After a while, you're going to be able to tell from the sound if it's going to be a good exposure. You can tell if it's too long, not long enough. Now, one of the tricks I used to do is to drop the KV way down to drive the time of exposure up to get, you know, like breathing technique. So normally, let's say you're going to use 70 kV, I drop down to about 55. That would make the exposure last a lot longer, and you'd be able to get breathing technique. Well, just about.
Is that a rule of thumb?
No.
And it's still trying to penetrate through that hardware.
So if it goes to a certain point, you say, okay, I'm going to do a normal spine. Okay, so this should be a tenth of a second exposure. So all of a sudden, it's going on, and hey, something's not right. You let off on the exposure.
Okay, yeah.
It will stop. But you can let off any time, it'll stop at that point.
Yeah, because after surgery, I know I had to go for x-rays for so many months to make sure the fusion is stuff, but I don't have any, hardware, but somebody, they're coming back in for a redo, and they want to make sure how things are going. It's kind of like, okay, that's a clue, you got something there. But for somebody that comes in 10 years later and doesn't disclose it, then how do you...
You don't know. Another trick that we used to do is, let's say we have equipment like this, especially the old equipment that we had, and you get somebody in really big, and they come in for a spine, and there's no way, you can do a one-second exposure and still not get enough radiation to the film. So sometimes we would do two or three exposures. We'd expose it for a second, hit it again, expose it again. So sometimes it'd be three, hopefully the patient would breathe in the meantime. And then between two or three exposures, we got enough radiation to get through these big patients.
On the same film?
On the same film, without changing anything.
So they would lay there, and that would be there, and you'd be in there, and you'd push it.
Yeah, stop breathing, don't breathe, boom, you make an exposure, boom, you make another exposure.
And then
usually those two were enough, because the machine didn't have the power to get through on one exposure.
And that would be okay on that film?
As long as they didn't move.
Yeah, because otherwise you get double exposure.
Oh, that would be
kind of
weird.
And the film doesn't come out ideal, right? Because you have motion in the abdomen and everything. Sometimes that's funny.
You should have known that you could do that.
I know.
That's a secret.
Okay, C-spine. Any questions?
They would start all
over. Okay, what I want you to do is break off in pairs and do one of the five that we did. And then we'll switch and have the other person do one of the other five.
So we skip the lateral. Did we do the lateral?
I did it, just did it on her.
Yeah, we did that.
The board goes up and your forearm has to be...
Well, that was the swimmer. We didn't do the straight, but that's okay. It was pretty much the same scenario, right?
It's the same thing.
Yeah. Same stuff, just arm.
Yeah, if you knew the oblique, you definitely could do the lateral. No, we did the lateral because somebody was asking, do right or left? Right?
No, we didn't do the straight lateral.
We didn't do the
but it's the same center as what I did. That's
right. I'll take my apology later.
Okay, so we're going to break off some pairs, and then I'll help you if you have any questions. Just ask. And then everybody else is going to work on the workflow.
I'll do that one. I didn't see that one, so I'll do that.
Okay.
And then it was my grandfather's birthday yesterday, too, and I called at random.
Okay. There's a film trailer. You need that one?